God. Open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 1. And I really appreciate that song. That's one of my favorite songs in the Passion Play, I think, because most of the time the men get to sing that. And so I was just singing along. But I really appreciate the fact that, that Mike had some ladies with him, because, you know, the call of Christ is not just for men, it's for women too. It's for everybody. I've entitled this sermon this morning, Not the Fisherman's Guide for Men, or the Fishing Guide for Men, which would mean one thing. I've entitled this sermon, The Fishing for Men Guide. And no, ladies, this is not about how to find and catch a husband. Sorry. I'm sorry, honey. I do have some ideas about that, though, ladies. If you want to talk to me, I can help you out on that. But this is actually a sermon about evangelism and evangelists. And I know that most of the time when we hear the word evangelist, we think about, you know, those harvest evangelists, those guys who stand up and preach before thousands and millions of people, somebody like Billy Graham. And, you know, over his ministry, he's probably seen millions of people come to know Christ. Or guys like Jay Louder, who was here in our church just a couple of weeks ago. And in February, we're going to be a part of just a great meeting that he's going to be preaching at. And those guys are evangelists. And if you think of him, if you think of those type of evangelists in terms of fishing, they would be kind of like those commercial fishing vessels that go out and they've got large nets, and they drag those large nets and they catch many fish. And that is fishing. It really is. But you know, fishing is also taking a cane pole and putting a string on it, sticking a hook on it with a worm and putting it in the water. That is also fishing as well. And that's the type of fishing, honestly, that most of us are called to do. And beloved, each one of us need to understand that as followers of Christ, or as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, or as Christians, we are called to be fishers of men. In fact, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul, speaking to this young man, Timothy, said, "Do the work of the evangelist." And he was speaking to each one of us. And so we are called to be fishers of men. In our text this morning, we're going to begin reading here in verse 16. Jesus has exploded on the scene. He's been baptized. He started his preaching ministry, going from town to town, village to village, preaching. And we find him now on the Sea of Galilee. And there are some men, some fishermen there. A man by the name of Andrew and Simon, who's later to be called Peter, and then James and John. And this is their call. And this song that we just heard really just lays that scene. If you just think about what must have been going through their minds. And so in verse 16 of Mark chapter 1, it says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come," he said. Wait a minute. I started two verses early. I knew I was going to do this. I've been telling myself all week long, don't do that. Verse 16, excuse me. "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee," I was trying to preach last Sunday's sermon. And if you weren't here, I know you'd appreciate that. If you were here, you'd probably appreciate me moving on. Verse 16, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen." And there's going to be a play on words here. Now notice this, they are fishermen, it says. And verse 17, "Jesus said, 'Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And at once they left their nets and they followed him. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men, and they followed him. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word." Now, really, to get the sense of this, we really need to get that, just the radical nature of this call upon the lives of these four men. And it's not going to just be these four men. There's going to be others, obviously. In fact, that call has gone down through the ages to each one of us. And that song that Mike and the ladies just sang really kind of just kind of help us to understand that. Is that we had no map to guide us. We had no kind of plan. We didn't know what we were doing. All we knew is we were going to follow Jesus. And I just want you to think about this for just a moment. Here are these men, and they are fishermen. And Jesus says, come follow me. And what's going to happen now is their vocation is going to change. No longer are they going to be primarily fishermen. They're going to be fishers of men as they follow Jesus. And so it's a radical change in their lives. And the call is to radical obedience. And what Jesus does here is he uses this analogy, them being fishermen, to call them to be fishers of men. Now, I think we could probably understand this a little bit better if we just kind of put it in our own context. So, for example, if you are a chemical engineer, it might have been that Jesus would have said to you, follow me and you will engineer souls from now on. Or if you're a pipe fitter, for example, it might have been that Jesus would have said, follow me and you're going to start fitting men's souls for the kingdom of God. Or if you were something else, a shopkeeper or whatever it is that you do, he would have the call would have been specifically to you, follow me, and this is what I'm going to do in your life. I'm going to change your life and fit it for the kingdom of God. And so that is the call upon these men. Whatever vocation you've got there, just put it there, because what Jesus does is he changes our vocation to his ministry. And this is the call to every child of God. And you know, this is a radical call, and it's a radical change of life. And I think I want to emphasize this today because I think that many of us as children of God or as Christians, we miss this. We think that to be a Christian just means that we get dunked in the baptistry and then we just come to church some. But being a Christian, being a child of God, means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's not always just to follow Him into the pew. In fact, it never is just to follow Him into the pew. It's to follow Him wherever He leads in life. So what I want to do is I want to give you a guide for fishing for men. Because I think this is what the call for us is. And maybe just to help us to understand what it is that God desires for us in our lives. He said to Peter, James, John, and Andrew, He said, follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. So I want to give you this guide this morning and to help you understand what exactly the call to follow Christ is all about. First thing, if you're going to be a fisher of men, first thing you need is you need a license. You need a license to fish. Now this is true, obviously, when you're fishing for fish. You've got to have a license, right? And you know, I got to thinking about this. Why do you need a license? You got to go down to one of the places where they sell license to fish. And you buy a license, you're actually paying a tax. You're paying the state. And if you think about it, when you buy a fishing license, you are paying for the privilege to catch fish. And the reason that is because evidently the state feels like they own the fish that are in the rivers and the lakes and the bays and even the ocean. And so when you go and purchase a license and you get a license to fish, what they are doing, what the state is doing, is giving you the authority to catch fish in state waters, right? Does that make sense? Anybody following me? A license to fish is authority to catch fish. Well, when you're fishing for men, that is, when you're fishing for the souls of men, when you're doing the work of the evangelist, the question is this: what gives you the right to share your faith with somebody? What gives you the right to tell somebody else that they need Jesus? What gives you the authority to say to someone, listen, this is what Christ has done for me, and He'll do this for you too. Man, it's the greatest thing in the world. Listen, if you'll just trust Christ, joy immeasurable. Come on. What gives you that right? Well, evidently, Jesus felt like He had the authority to give to each one of us when He said to Andrew and Peter, He said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now notice, he was saying that he was going to do something in their life. And the implication on Jesus' part was that he had the authority over the souls of men so that he could lead these men to catch these men for Christ. And beloved, I want you to understand something, that God does have the authority over every soul. In Job chapter 41, verse 11, God is speaking to Job, and this is what he says. He says, "Everything under heaven belongs to me." Now you put everything under heaven, everything that is under heaven, and there everything that is under heaven. And God says, it belongs to me. Now if you turn in your Bibles back one page to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. And this is something we call the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Did you get that? Jesus said, all authority belongs to me. God said, everything under heaven is mine. And Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. And so now I'm giving it to you. Go and make disciples. And this point is just very, very simple. Your license to fish for men comes from Christ. It is the authority of God upon your life as a child of God to share your faith. And so when somebody says, well, what gives you the right? What makes you think that what you've got is better than what anybody else has got? And what makes you think that you can say to somebody, listen, you need to trust Christ when maybe they need something else? Well, what gives you the right or what gives you the authority is Jesus. His call upon your life is your license to fish for souls, beloved. His call upon your life, His call to follow Him as a child of God, as a believer. His call is your authority, your license to fish for the souls of men. Okay, so that's the first thing. When you fish for the souls of men, you need a license, and that license comes from Jesus. Second thing is this, you've got to have passion. You not only need a license, but you need passion. You know, all successful fishermen that I've found have a passion for fishing. I mean, they just love to fish. Some of them don't necessarily even like to eat fish, but they love fishing. And you can see their love for fishing in the way that they act and in the things that they say. So these guys, some of them got a boat. They've all got, fishing gear. And some of it is very expensive. Amen, ladies. And they spend a lot of money thinking about fish and thinking about catching fish and how we're and they talk about it. And they talk about how they catch the fish. And they talk about how many fish they catch, even when they go over their limit. You know what I'm talking about? And Brother Steve, you understand? They go over their limit, but it doesn't matter. Because they've got this passion to catch. The only thing they won't talk about is where they catch the fish, because they've got that, that honey spot somewhere, and they don't want anybody else to go to the same place. But when you talk to them, they talk about fishing, and they want to encourage you to fish, and weather conditions don't bother them. It can be cold, it can be hot, doesn't matter. Man, they're going to get out and fish. And you know what? They might have the hardest time in the world getting up to go to work or do something around the house. But listen, they don't have any problem getting up and going fishing in the morning, right? That's because they've got a passion for fishing. And all successful fishermen love to fish. They have a passion for fishing. And you know where that passion usually came from? It usually came from somebody else. Maybe it was a dad or another man or a mentor or something that said, hey, go fishing with me. And so they would go fishing, and man, they just fell in love with fishing. It's one of the easiest things to do. And men are passing on their passion to the next generation, the next generation. And some ladies are too. I'm not trying to exclude you ladies, but most passionate fishermen I know have been men. Well, where does a passion for fishing for souls come from? Where do we get a passion to care about or desire to see people come to know Jesus Christ? Well, just think about Simon and Andrew and James and John. Jesus came walking by one day and he said, hey, won't you guys follow me? And I'll make you to become fishers of men. Now, what's interesting about that is their reaction illustrates the fact that they must have known Jesus before this time. I mean, Jesus had been preaching around there, and probably they had gone to see him preach. They had heard him preach. They had maybe they had seen some of the miracles. Maybe they had helped out in some other way. And what had happened was they had come to think of Jesus as more than just a man, even at this point. And they looked at Jesus, maybe not even just as a miracle worker, but as God in the flesh. And they had come to love Jesus. Because I'll tell you something, when somebody comes along and says, hey, why don't you follow me? You don't leave everything you've ever known behind unless you've got a passion or you love that guy. And what happened was, even at that point, as they began to follow Jesus, and I think at that point they loved Jesus. They didn't necessarily care so much at that point for all the souls out there. In fact, there's times in the Gospels where Jesus and the disciples will be in a town and they won't be received just right. And the disciples said, Jesus, why don't we just rain fire down on them and let's just wipe them out, you know? That was their heart. They didn't necessarily care for the souls out there so much, but they cared for Jesus. And as a result of Jesus and their relationship with Him over time, His passion became their passion. Now what was the passion of Jesus? Why in the world did Jesus come to this earth? You know, He told us Himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And the context is there is that story of Zacchaeus. The wee little man who climbed up the tree and then he went to Zacchaeus' home. And then in verse 10, Jesus says this, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you were to say, Jesus, why in the world did you come? He would have said, let me tell you something. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't come just to give folks a good feeling. I didn't come for the nice churchy folks. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the passion of Jesus. And you know what happened? As these men followed Jesus, as they walked with Him day by day by day, His passion actually became their passion. And you know what? You can see this in those followers. Every one of the disciples of Jesus who followed Him ended up giving their life for this gospel and seeing men come to know Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, the Apostle Paul talks about his passion. And Paul, remember, who had been a persecutor of the church, until he was walking down that road to Damascus one day and Jesus met him face to face. And from that time on, Jesus' passion was Paul's passion. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he tells about it. He says, brothers, my heart's desire, that's his passion, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I mean, his desire was to see people saved. What happened was he followed Jesus and the passion of Jesus became his passion. Let me ask you something. What are you passionate about? What is it that really trips your trigger and gets you going? What gets you up in the morning excited to get up and go? What is it? You know, if we were just to be honest, I would guess we would have to say that some of us are passionate about our pets. Some of us are passionate about our grandkids. Some of us are passionate about sports. Some of us stayed up late last night watching a baseball game, watching a little guy take a baseball and throw it 95 miles an hour, and we were cheering and rooting on. We were passionate about it. I'm talking about myself. Some of us are passionate about the fact that the Texans are going to be playing later on today. I guess they are. I didn't check. And we just can't wait to see. Well, I mean, some of us are more passionate about sports than we are about the things of God or about the Lord Jesus. God help us. How is it possible to be a follower of Jesus Christ and not be passionate about the things that He's passionate about? And Jesus said, what I'm passionate about is souls. You know what my heart's desire is as pastor of First Baptist Church? My heart's desire is to see us as a church, as a body of Christ, to develop a passion to see people come to Christ. To develop a passion for souls. And let me tell you something, beloved. When you love the Master, you're going to love the things the Master loves. And the Master loves souls. And He loves fishing for souls. And so, And so if you're going to be a fisher for men, first of all, you got to have a license, and that comes from Jesus. And you got to have a passion, and that comes from following Jesus. And then the last thing you need is a plan. And I want to talk to you for just a minute about a plan. You know, that song that Mike and the girls just sang said they didn't have any kind of plan, and they didn't. But I think they showed us a plan. You know, if you're going to catch fish, you have a plan. You don't just show up one day and say, well, I guess I'm going to catch fish. No, what you do is you prepare and you get the boat ready and you get your equipment ready and everything. And you know where you're going to go and you know at what time you're going to go. And you're going to think about all those type of things. And what happens is if you're going to be successful in catching fish, you have a plan for catching that fish. Let me just give you some parts of the plan for catching souls for Christ. The first one is this. You got to go where the fish are. If you're ever going to catch souls for Jesus Christ, you've got to go where they are. You'll never catch them sitting in your living room watching TV. Now, there's a joke about this, and so I'm going to tell the joke. Please laugh. Lady went to her psychiatrist, or to a psychiatrist, and she said, Doctor, my husband's crazy. And I need some help. And he said, listen, I'm the professional. Let me decide what is written crazy. Just tell me what he's doing. And she said, well, he'll get his fishing pole and go in the bathroom. And he's fishing in the bathtub. And the doctor said, well, that is crazy. We've got to stop that. And the woman said, whoa, whoa, not so quick, sir. We really need the fish now. Remember that. Let's scratch that one off here. There are souls that need to be called for Christ right in our home. But most people are not going to knock on the door of our house and ask us how to be saved. And let me tell you something else. Most people are not going to knock on the door of this church. Some do. But most are not going to come through the doors of this church eagerly desiring how to be saved. I want you to understand that the Great Commission of Jesus began with what? Go. Go. He didn't say stay. He said go. That's the Great Commission. Because the people that we need to be catching for Jesus Christ are out there. They're in our neighborhoods. They're in our plants. They're in the business. They're in the schools. Wherever it is that we go, that's where the people are at. And we've got to be going and catching them for Christ. Max Lucado wrote it this way. He said Jesus wasn't crucified in a church building over a baptistry between an organ and a piano in front of a bunch of coats and ties. He was crucified on a cruel cross between two hardened criminals. He wasn't crucified in a nice neighborhood, but at a crossroads of the world so cosmopolitan that his title had to be written in three languages. He died at the kind of place where thieves cursed and soldiers gambled, and that's where we need to take the gospel. So we've got to go where the fish are. Second thing in this plan of catching fish, you got to understand the fish. That is, you got to understand how they act. You know what a good fisherman will do? They'll study the fish. And they know what kind of weather conditions that the fish are moving in, when they're most active and when they're feeding. And they know the tides, and they know if tides coming in, tides going out, that means one thing or another. And they look at the water conditions and the temperature of the water and the places and all these different things. They study the fish to understand how to better catch the fish. Well, beloved, in order to be effective in catching souls for Christ, you've got to know what people think, those who are without Christ, or how they think. Let me say, how many of you have been a Christian for more than 5 years? Raise your hand. Been a Christian more than 5 years. Okay, keep your hands up. If you've been a Christian for more than 10 years, keep your hands up. More than 10 years. More than 20 years, keep your hands up. More than 30 years. More than 40 years. You've been a Christian for more than 50 years. Praise God. You know what happens? And there's a lot of us that have been Christians for a long time. Do you know what happens to us? Statistics show that after we've been a Christian for about 3 years, we don't have any more unchristian friends. Most of us don't. Because what happens is we're not doing, as a Christian, we're not doing the same thing, going the same places. act in the same way that unbelievers act. And so what happens is we begin to separate ourselves from those folks, and then we begin to segregate ourselves in places like this church here. And then this is where we do our religion. And then there are folks out there living in that desperation that we were living in before Christ, on their way to hell, and we don't even understand them anymore because we've been in the church for so long. Now, beloved, what the call is to go out there, and to do that, you've got to understand, that is, you've got to meet lost people. You've got to understand what motivates them, what they care about, what their hopes and dreams and all those things are. And to do that, you don't have to become just like them, but you don't have to grow gills to understand fish. You don't have to get down in the pigsty in order to understand pigs. You don't have to be a sinner, because you know that Jesus, the Bible says that He never sinned, tempted in every way, like as we, yet without sin. And yet, you know where Jesus was? He was right out there with the sinners. And He understood sinners. You don't have to be a sinner to understand sinners and to be with them. And to help catch them for the Lord. And so we've got to understand the fish. We've got to understand how fish act. And then the final thing in this plan is you've got to fish. That is, the time has to come sooner or later where you get your rod and reel and you put the hook in the water and you try to catch a fish. And you know what I've discovered is a lot of us Christians, we talk about evangelism when we talk about people coming to Christ. And we love that. We love to see people baptized. We study evangelism. We do things like faith evangelism and sharing Christ without fear and all of these different type of things. But not too many of us ever get to the point where we actually share our faith, that is, try to catch souls for Christ. And some of us will say, well, wait, Brother Greg, I tried that and it didn't work. It's not that I didn't want to. I've done it. But it just didn't work. Well, you know what? If you're a fisherman, there are going to be times where you go out and you don't catch any fish. But that don't stop you from going back, does it? And you know what we do? What happens is when one thing doesn't work, what we do is try something else. As a matter of fact, as a church here, we have developed a number of different things to catch all different kinds of souls for Christ. For example, you've got something in your bulletin there about something called trunk or treat. You know why we do trunk or treat here at First Baptist Church? You know why we do that? Just so the kids will have a safe place to come, so alternative for Halloween. Well, you know what trunk or treat is? That it's a safe place for kids to come, and it's an alternative for Halloween and everything. But you know what trunk or treat really is all about? The reason that we do trunk or treat here at First Baptist Church is to give folks who don't have any connection with this church and maybe are suspicious of church folk, give them the opportunity to come on this church ground and find out that maybe Christians aren't quite so weird after all. And that's the reason we ask you, bring candy. And why not just put a bring your car and fix it up. And if you can't do that, why not just come and help meet folks and let folks know that, you know what, God loves them. And listen, when you participate in trunk or treat, you're fishing for souls. We've got all different types of things that we do here in the church in that way. For example, passion play. You know, inviting somebody to passion play is fishing for souls, because what happens at passion play? The gospel is shared. That's what it's all about. You know, you can take somebody aside and you can tell them about Jesus, or you can invite them. Sunday school. Sunday school is the evangelistic arm of the church. You know why we originally had Sunday school in this church and any other Baptist church? It's so that Christians could invite their lost friends to come. And listen, we share the scripture together. We apply it to our lives. Why don't you come? Because it'll fit with you too. You know what we've turned Sunday school into? We've turned it into something that makes us comfortable. I mean, we want a place to come with our friends that we can sit around, us four, no more, shut the door, you know? But what it was originally for is open the door and hey, come on. When you invite somebody to Sunday school, you're fishing. You understand that? I mean, there's a lot of different ways. But we've got to put the hook in the water. We have to fish. All different types of things. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, he said, I become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. And all these different things we do are just ways to give us opportunities to get the hook in the water and catch souls for Jesus. And so I just want to close this by asking you a couple of questions. First question is this, and I'm talking about fishing for fish now. Is there anybody in here that has never been fishing ever? You've never had a pole in your hand, never tried to catch a fish. Anybody? Anybody here? We're all a bunch of fishermen. Well, I was hoping somebody would say, Brother Mike, just raise your hand for a second. You've never tried to fish? You've never tried to fish? Well, Brother Mike, if you've never tried to fish, second question for you is, have you ever caught a fish? No, you haven't? How can you catch a fish if you've never tried the fish? I mean, that almost makes sense, doesn't it? And you know, some of us have never caught souls because we just don't try. Beloved, are you fishing for souls? Are you fishing for souls? What has your faith or your Christianity become? And let me just add this. When you and I stand before God, we're not going to be judged by the number of souls that we caught for Jesus. Did you know that? Billy Graham, who has been a harvest evangelist for many years, and I would guess probably millions and millions of people. Who knows how many people have come to know Christ through Billy Graham. He's not going to be judged any differently than you and me that maybe lead one or two people to Christ. You know what we're going to be judged for? Our obedience. Our obedience. Did I just try? Did I put the hook in the water? Did I share my faith as I had the opportunity? Let me just close with a story by Daryl Robinson and just see if this makes any sense. You know, Daryl Robinson is a great evangelist and man of God. He wrote this. He said, this is a little modern day parable. He said, once there was a group of people called the Fishing Society. They gathered every week to talk about the importance of fishing, but they never fished. They said they wanted fish, so they decided to build a big new aquarium. They pooled their money, and they built a sparkling new meeting hall that they named the Aquarium Center. They employed a scholar to teach them from the fishing manual. And each week they gathered in their beautiful building, and they recited portions of the fishing manual. Their fishing scholar explained some of the mysteries of the fishing manual. And the meeting ended with the scholar dramatically casting a net in the tank in the center of the Aquarium Center. And the members were all hopeful that some fish would be caught. But none were ever caught, of course, because there were no fish in the tank. This led to a disagreement among the members of the Fishing Society. Why didn't fish come to their beautiful aquarium center? Some said that specialization was the answer, so they built smaller tanks specifically designed for fish of all ages and sizes. There's still no fish. Some blamed the problem on the lack of attendance of the members of the Fishing Society. So they conducted week-long fishing crusades. They constantly talked about new and better methods of fishing. They bought some of the finest fishing equipment on the market. But the one thing they didn't do was fish. They even elected numerous committees to operate the Fishing Society more efficiently. One group kept busy by regulating the water in the aquarium. Others worked to keep the glass walls polished. Others sorted and arranged the expensive fishing gear. One young man in the group had a radical idea. He said if fish were to be caught, they would have to go out to the ocean and lakes and catch them. Some people were alarmed at such a suggestion. The young man actually went out and tried fishing. And to everyone's amazement, he came back with a couple of fish. He was such a sensation, he was given the title Doctor of Fishology, and he started a school to teach other aspiring fishermen. And all this consumed so much time, he didn't have time for fishing himself. Then the Fishing Society sent a few brave professional fishermen to live a few blocks from the water. These were called fissionaries. These foreign fissionaries sent back pictures of themselves standing by the water holding their catches. They sometimes returned to the aquarium center and showed slides of them actually catching fish. This excited the members, but only for a few moments. Over the years, some members of the fishing society forgot about fishing. There was plenty to do without worrying about that. Some even suggested they change the name of the group from the Fishing Society to just the Society. After all, they didn't want to offend anyone, especially the fish. One day, a bearded stranger appeared at their weekly meeting. This long-haired, sandaled man claimed to be the master fisherman. He extended hands to appeal to the fishermen to follow him out where the fish were. Some noticed that there were ugly scars in his palms, probably from fishing. He had the gall to say that he was the one who started the fishing society. Many angrily disagreed. They had worked hard and given their money to build up that society. As the stranger turned to leave, his final comment made some of the respectable members of the society so angry that they stopped up their ears. He said, "If you never try to catch fish, you have no right to call yourself a fisherman. If you aren't fishing, you aren't following me." After their initial shock, the members of the fishing society resumed their busy activity in maintaining their beautiful hall. As they polished away and consulted their fishing manual, they were glad their beautiful hall had not been built in vain. After all, it made them feel good about themselves. Beloved, you and I were called, like Simon and Andrew, James and John, to follow Jesus and to become fishers of men. God help us. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you would examine our hearts. Father, I thank you for the call that you've placed upon your life. And Lord, for myself, I even have to confess that I haven't been faithful. And Lord, there are times when I've chased after everything else and been so passionate about so many things, but not passionate about you and the things that you're passionate about. God, would you have mercy on me? And God, today in this place, would you move in such a mighty way, Lord, that we couldn't just sit here and be the same. As Jesus called Simon and Andrew, James and John, come follow me. And they left everything behind and their lives were radically changed. God, I ask today that you would help us in this radical call. God, move us to radical obedience to you and to your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name.